Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. My name is Michael and I'm very excited to be joined by some very special guests tonight. Teresa Kapenda is our African coordinator of the Zambian African Project, Feeding the Vulnerable Children. And I'm also very excited to be joined by Jen Colmore, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center, and I hear rumored to be also involved in the Africa Project in some ways.
This is true, Michael. That's rumor true. Has it, yes. So let's face it, Teresa is the special, special guest.
So thank you both for being here. And it's funny because I've been doing this show for 7 or 8 years, and the first time I did it, there was like so much energy in my body. I remember I exercised for like 2 hours before. It had no effect on the energy in my body, and I was coming home today, and I was thinking, there's all this energy in my body, and so it's really exciting to have you here. I'm really grateful and honored. And I was thinking, you know, what do I say to her? You know, where do I start? Do I start with Zambia? Do I start with the kids? Do I start with the passport, with the Johannesburg? So I figured I'd start, as is often the case in our practice, of just checking in and seeing how are you doing and tell us how you are.
Good afternoon, Zeno viewers. I'm Teresa Kapenda from Zambia. Kantalomba, the director and overseer of the project in Zambia. I'm fine, doing great, and I'm very, very excited to be in America. Thank you so much to be on this talk show. I hope and trust that everyone who listens to this will get a feel and view, as I have here in America, that I am actually in America.
You are actually here in America. And I will vouch for it.
And I think, you know, just to give the thumbnail kind of sketch on what it took to get Teresa here, it's really been, I would say, a two-year project. A couple years ago, we started talking to Teresa when we were in Zambia about coming to the United States, and we looked at coming last year for the bridge walk and decided to put it off for a year because we needed to put all the pieces in place and, you know, had all the pieces in place. And then she and I started to make the journey in late August, and the passport went missing. And to this day, we don't actually know if someone took it out of her bag or we just don't know. And it was a huge mystery. And, I mean, I know I'm looking at Teresa right now. I mean, the moment that we were in the Johannesburg airport and realized that we were not going to find that passport, I think that was probably one of the hardest moments. We've talked about it since and agreed that it was one of the hardest moments for each of us in our very young lives. and what's gone on in the 3 weeks since then to make it happen again and to get that new passport and get the new visa and get the plane ticket changed and get her here has been enormous and has been something that really I could say hundreds of people have participated in making happen. And kind of the really fun culmination of it is that I was floored this morning when we received a telephone call from the South African air agent.
Oh my goodness.
Asking if she had made it here safely.
Wow.
This is a woman who worked with us. Let's see, it must have been this Friday afternoon. She was to fly on Sunday, and their desk to create the tickets closes Friday afternoon, 5 o'clock on the East Coast time. And, I mean, we were right up to the wire, and she was on the phone with us until that ticket was ticketed. So it's so inspiring what's gone in to make this happen.
Yeah, it is fascinating. And Teresa, I'm not sure if you're familiar, but the whole process was really widely documented for everybody who wanted to know via the website, and Jen was putting up regular updates about everything. And we've had a couple of conversations about it on Good News Updates with Jen last week and perhaps Dave the week before. And my experience and what I heard from a lot of people, it was really, for us, a moment to really turn to practice and to remember, you know, Sherry talks a lot about the illusion of control and to really have kind of solid evidence of that illusion of control. And for me, to really see practice and everybody respond in a really beautiful way, nothing wrong, and really just getting back to the task at hand. And, you know, for those of us who have practiced for a while, being able to do that is hard. And it's a big skill, and for me it was really fun to see that played out so publicly with everybody. And I just had a sense, as Jen was talking about the hundreds of people involved, I picture this globe, and I picture these little forces trying to work to influence, to support you to come here. And it's fun to see all of that come together.
I agree with you. Even me on the other side of Zambia, when I was coming here, everyone was supportive, starting from Zambia and Ndola Airport up to Washington, D.C. Everyone was helpful. I did not have a problem even with the immigration. They were very sympathetic about me losing my passport and everything. I had a very, very, very straightforward trip when coming here. And I knew that upon arriving here, everything was going to be in control. And I hope and trust that I'll achieve at least as much as I can do in this short space of time that I have.
Well, I know that you will, and I know that you have already. So for me, just you being here is treat enough for me.
So earlier today, Teresa had a chance to call some of the team at home and let them know that she was here safely. Do you want to tell them some of the reactions to that, Teresa?
Everyone was excited, especially when I called in my partner, Simon. He couldn't believe that I was talking from America. He asked me, "Are you in South Africa?" And I said, "I'm in America right now." And he just screamed, "Wow!" over the phone. And I talked to my mom. She kept on jumping up and down. All the children were there. My children, I have nieces whom I look after. They kept on screaming, "Auntie, Auntie!" on the phone. Then I talked to my workmate and how the work was going on in Cantalomba. She said she couldn't believe that she was talking to me. Because after losing the passport, no one thought that I would be here in America. But as soon as they heard the voice on the phone, they were so excited. They were ready to go home. Then, what time is it that side? And I said it was very early in the morning. They couldn't believe. They thought it was nighttime. We were supposed to go to bed. And I said, "I'm waking up right now."
Wow, it's really exciting. It's really exciting. Yeah, yeah. I don't know what to say. It's to me, it's the miracle of practice and the willingness of each of us to make the contribution that we can for our role. And I just, as you're talking, I just picture this wave of all of the work you've done, of all the team in Zambia, and all the children that have been fed. I can feel the emotion coming out now. All the lives that have been saved and lives transformed. And it's just, to me, it's just a really beautiful model of partnership. As you talked about in your email today that you sent out, it's that really tangible team, one team. Some of us are usually over here, and some of us are usually over here. And to really see it as one team is really, really beautiful.
And thank you, Michael, because that reminds me that Teresa and I over lunch today were just looking at, and this is some of what we were talking about in the email we sent out earlier today, but what an extraordinary opportunity we have in front of us where, you know, often, especially when Sherry and I travel to Zambia, we talk with Teresa and the team over there about visioning and about what the next steps are going to be and all of that, you know, moving the project forward. And we come back here and we talk to donors and we talk about here's what the team in Cantalomba wants to accomplish and here's the part we can play in that. But this opportunity of having Teresa here in person with us allows us to do both of those things together. And it's really, I'm so excited about it, of the chance to have Teresa be here and carry that on-the-ground perspective into the visioning, which to me will draw all of us on this side of the Atlantic into, wow, you know, into the dialogue, into we get to be part of that visioning process. And then so on Teresa goes back home to kind of carry out the day-to-day operations. And then hopefully, you know, we here back in the U.S. and other places around the globe where people, donors are involved, can work on our side to, okay, what are we going to do over here to help carry that vision forward? So I really hope that this good news update, you know, this second day of Teresa being in the United States is the beginning of a three-week dialogue. And I'm, you know, I want to invite everyone in the Sangha into that dialogue and, you know, communicate with us in every way you can. Yeah, we're going to be really, really busy, and we're excited about that, but don't hold back on communicating with us. You know, jump in, be part of the dialogue, because it's just, it's an extraordinarily unique opportunity.
Jen, I was thinking too that there is one formal event, which is really a great place for everyone worldwide to participate in that conversation. And that's going to be a internet Skype, I believe, broadcast event, and that'll be on Friday, October 2nd. And we'll be here in Palo Alto, and anybody can join from wherever you are in the world. It'll be in the evening, West Coast time. And so that'll be whatever time for people around the world.
Yeah, I think we're going for, like, I think a 5:30 time, which will be, you know, work hopefully well for West Coasters, but still allow East Coasters to be awake. And sorry about those Europeans. You know, we always do that to you, but what can we do? Just like the folks in Zambia, you know, they're, as Teresa said, they're on a completely different time zone, but we do our best.
Yeah, yeah, it's really great. And I'm hopeful that that conversation will be recorded, perhaps, so that people who are not awake at that hour can participate also.
Yes, definitely.
Teresa, do you have any other words you'd like to share with us in this moment?
Right now, I would love all of you listeners out there to share this important meeting that we'll have on Friday. I really want you to see me in person. If you really up to it, come and shake my hand. I really need to shake yours. Or a hug.
Or a hug. Wonderful. And so that reminds me, I'll mention a couple other, there are several West Coast events, most of them within a couple of hours of here. So there's an event in Murphy's, California, near the monastery, and that's on a Wednesday. I don't have the date in front of me. September, I want to say 23rd, perhaps?
Yeah.
And there's an event on Sunday, the 27th, I believe, in Felton, which is near Santa Cruz. And there's an event in San Francisco, which I believe is on a Wednesday before the Bridge Walk. And those of you listening will need to confirm with the Living Compassion website. And then Friday night here in Palo Alto, the night before the Bridge Walk, and then the Bridge Walk in San Francisco, which will be a lot of fun. We'll be in a new location, and I'm very excited about that.
Yep.
Jen, do you have any final thoughts?
Just, you know, I guess nothing more than we've already said, but to, again, Teresa and I were talking earlier today, and I was asking her about what message the folks in Cantalomba wanted her to carry with her, and she said it's very simple. Do you want to relay it, Teresa?
Yes. The message is very quite simple. Every one of you, each one of you who has listened to this program and those who have given us even the tiniest bit, we say thank you as a team in Zambia. Thank you so much for the blessings that you are doing in our hearts.
The thanks are mutual. Yes, yes, wonderful. Okay, we're going to take a quick break here, and then we'll be right back with you. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huer. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good evening, Michael. I mean, good afternoon, Michael.
Yeah, the sun is tricky, isn't it? Confuses us.
It really is. Yeah. What a gorgeous, gorgeous day today, huh?
It is a gorgeous day.
Yeah.
How are you?
Well, as the rumors spread throughout a place, I've been better. But I was just on the phone talking with a Chinese medicine doctor friend of mine who says that what I have is just the latest thing that's going around. Everyone has it. I said, oh, I don't feel so special then. Everyone has it, but there's a certain comfort in knowing that everyone has it. So,
So
I'm fine. I mean, I'm on the mend. That's always good news.
Oh, great! I'm glad to hear.
Yeah. Yeah. Just a little virus that decided to settle in my inner ear and make walking meditation a real challenge.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Wow. Yes, the ear is important for balance.
Yes. And, boy, when it goes wacky, so does one. So, it's been exciting, an adventure. And I find here's the spiritual component of it that I have enjoyed most. When I sit perfectly still, I'm just fine.
Wow. You know, I think there's a message in that for the rest of us.
I think there was, I certainly suspected there was one for me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so it's a very good thing. It's actually kind of, as illnesses go, it's quite enjoyable.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah.
Sherry, we had a lovely conversation with Teresa and Jen a few minutes ago.
Yes. Is it fun to have Teresa here after all of this, or what?
Yes, yes, fun in all capitals.
Yeah, yeah. What a great adventure this has been. Good grief.
Yes.
Yeah. Here she is now, and we're very excited, happy to have her here safely.
Yes, yes. I project a lot of willingness and courage and strength onto our intrepid adventure.
Right. Well, I keep going back to it. I don't know if it was a peace quote or I don't think it was Transform Your Life, because I don't remember putting the quote in, but the recent one from Mark Twain about something like, I guess anything can happen today, or it seems like anything can happen today. And I just referred to that inside my own head so many times recently. I truly do love it when I get gentle reminders, and I consider all of this a gentle reminder that I don't know. I wake up in the morning, I have no idea what's going to happen today. No idea. I think I do because I'm not paying attention. But when I'm paying attention, I really know that I don't. And so, to get a reminder, a very real reminder of that, where you know nobody died, nothing catastrophic. I think it's really helpful for practice.
I agree, 100%.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's really nice when they are gentle, isn't it?
It really is. And when we're, when we're there to pay attention to them, because
yes.
we can, you know, we can get caught up, especially with something like what happened with Teresa and her passport. There are just so many elements to that could take us off into conditioning, and on everybody's part. You know, there's what's going on for Teresa, there's what's going on for everybody in Indola, there's what's going on for us over here and with Sangha around the world, and, you know, we can all bring a lot of suffering to it if we wanted to go in that direction, if we wanted to let those voices just spin out of control on their own and start telling us what this means and what's wrong and how it shouldn't be this way. But to realize that, hey, we don't know what life has in store for us from minute to minute. This is what we've got. Now, how do we respond to this? What's the most compassionate way that we can meet this moment and receive from it everything that it brings to us? So it's one of the things I like best about practice, that it keeps us, helps support us in maintaining that perspective, that relationship with life. Because I was just looking at it today, as a matter of fact, that, and it can sound sort of Pollyanna-ish or, you know, New Age silly or something, but we really can look at life from the direction of I'm making everything happen, and if it goes the way I want, it's proof that I'm the right person. Or suffer when life isn't playing along with that that orientation, or we can realize that each moment of life is bringing to each and every one of us exactly what we need to wake up and end suffering. And with that attitude of mind, then no matter what happens for us, there's that realization that it really is the perfect thing for me. In each moment, it's the perfect thing for me, for you, for everybody we know. It's perfect. And if we're there to receive it with that attitude of mind, it will, it cannot fail to enlighten us.
It's a good deal.
It really is, because all we have to do, our part of it is show up and pay attention, which is really a small contribution given everything that life is doing.
Yes, yes, indeed. Wonderful. Thank you for that, Sherry.
My pleasure.
We have a stack of callers here.
All right, let's talk to them, shall we?
Yes. First caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Christine in North Carolina. Hey, Christine.
Hi.
Hi. Hi.
What's going on?
Well, I called to say hi to Teresa and welcome her because I guess like Michael, I feel a lot of energy in my body around and just being so excited that she's here, that she made it safely to California and all the different events will be happening, and I'm just so excited about that, and so I wanted to call and welcome her, and it was great to hear her voice, and
we've been talking about all of this for so long,
yes.
And that it's now moved into she is real, and oh, that's what she sounds like. You know, that whole, it's real. It's very
mm-hmm.
exciting.
Yeah, so I wasn't sure if Teresa was going to be on the call or not, but I called to welcome her, and I'm, you know, excited that it's you, but I didn't have anything else to say, except I hope you feel better soon.
Well, thank you for, all of that. I know Teresa's listening. She's not right here in the same space with the germs, but I know she's listening. So she heard that welcome, and I thank you very much for your good wishes for my returning help. So
yes.
Great to hear your voice. I know that you have made over time tremendous efforts toward not only the Zen Center and Sangha, but also specifically toward Cantalomba and the children there and that sort of thing. So I appreciate hearing your voice on this auspicious occasion.
Thank you. Mm. Yeah, for me it's so heart-opening somehow, you know, just to know that Teresa's here. I just am so excited, and I just feel so, I feel a lot of emotion and just excitement, and I'm just thrilled, you know, that she's here, and that we're all carrying on in the way that we participate. And it's really been good for me to participate in the fundraising that I've done, and I love doing that. And
I don't know about you, but for me, what this project has done is to make Sangha around the world real in a way that was really kind of theoretical for me. Before, you know, to know that there are people all over the world attending to the same thing, following along with the same adventure, participating in all of these different ways around the world, that we're all focused in the same way. It is heart-opening and
mm-hmm.
inspiring and encouraging. It's encouraging to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah,
good.
It feels that way to me, too.
Yeah. All right. Well, take care. Stay in touch, huh?
Yes. Thank you very much.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Christine. You're listening to
Christine, you know, is one of the people we miss seeing in Asheville. So, So lots of those folks in Washington and then in North Carolina that we didn't get to see because that doggone passport just took its own time.
Yes, it did. Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Okay, next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry and Michael, it's Rebecca in Texas.
Hey, Rebecca in Texas, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I am driving back to Austin from Dallas for a work thing. And when I heard that Teresa was going to be on Good News, I knew the only way I could listen was to call in to listen on, while I was on hold.
Uh-huh. And it
so
worked?
I heard, and it was so great. And then it was just a doubly pleasant surprise to hear you on. And I want to add my wishes to Christine that you have a good, nice, speedy recovery.
Thank you. When I heard when my friend who was helping me with the treatment and that sort of thing said, well, now this is the kind of thing that people are tending to get when they, you know, if they're a little tired or they've been traveling. I thought, well, okay.
That's it, both of you, right?
Yeah.
Both accounts.
So I just hope for my cohorts that, you know, I'm the only one who has the pleasure.
Hopefully you won't have to travel for a while.
Yeah.
Well,
no travel for a while.
Yeah. Well, I also wanted to, excuse me, one second. I also wanted to say, when Jim was talking about the whole visioning thing, of how this is a really important step in the visioning of our joint across the world sanghas, since Teresa's here and we can kind of take these steps together. That's when what you were just describing, that these two sanghas being together, really came real for me, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
That it's not just communication over the airwaves. There is something about face-to-face that's just really powerful, I think.
Which is why, you know, we're trying to get people from this side of the world to, as many as can, whenever they can, get over there to that side of the world and actually be able to sit down with folks there and meet them. It's a little more difficult to get more of them over here, but who knows, down the road, what might be possible.
Yeah, who knows? It's that we're back to that Mark Twain quote again.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you know,
exactly.
I am really putting out there to the universe that I intend to go this summer to Africa. I really don't know how, time wise and money wise, but I am really gonna work to try to make it happen. So I put that out there for the record.
Very good. And that's really the first step, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. To acknowledge that intention and start focusing in that direction, because that's what all of this is about. You know, everything that has happened as a result of the focus of attention. So there it is with practice. You know, the quality of our life is determined by the focus of our attention. So what we practice is what we have, and when we say where our heart is and the direction that we're going, and we get a bead on that, and we continue to focus on that, that does tend to be where our lives go. And it's, you know, there's not even, as far as I can tell, any sort of moral element to that. It's just the way life is constructed. So whatever we're focusing on, that's what tends to be the content of our lives. So if that's where you want your life to go, then getting your eyes on that is a very good beginning step.
Yeah, that's a really good teaching to remember. And I like especially that part that there's not a real moral element. It's just the way it is. That's right.
If you want a lot of money, then the thing to focus on is a lot of money. Now, of course,
yeah.
The moral aspect of that comes in when we're focused on things, you know, it's that old joke of be careful what you ask for. So we want to be really clear when we're focusing our attention in that way, that we have the whole picture. So you know,
And then to get out, and then, you know, one of the things I guess I wasn't aware of was that when Jen was saying that this process of getting Teresa over here is really a couple of few years old, and so part of putting this out there and bringing your attention to that seems also to let go of any ideas about when it should all happen. You know, the universe seems to have its own time for everything anyway, and might as well not add suffering to it. And I just noticed that my attention went to that when she said it, and I see so many times in my own life that trips me up, this idea of how soon it should happen, you know.
I think that that is such a critical point, because I suspect that a lot of people will give up on something because life isn't moving in their timeline. So
yeah.
I want to accomplish something in my mind that's in 6 months from now. So a year from now, it hasn't happened, and I think, oh, well, okay, so that's not going to work. So what else? But, you know, in the everything moving around to accommodate that, maybe it takes a couple of years to make that happen. So to be willing to stay with whatever it is that we're choosing, it doesn't mean that, of course, obviously, that we can control it. We're not talking about making things happen. We're talking about moving in a direction. And then to be willing, you know, if we were talking about awakening, this would be a really interesting application for the conversation. So I know that I want to awaken. I want to be able to see clearly, and because I suspect that that's a big step toward ending suffering. So that's what I want to do. Now, I can't make that happen, but I can keep my attention and intention there. I can align my thinking and my focus and my actions, what I say, where I spend my time. I can put all of that in the direction of awakening. And then if it happens, here's to me, this is the beauty of it. If it happens, when it happens, great. And when it happens, as we've just determined, will be on life's timeline, not mine.
Yeah.
When it happens, that'll be great. If it happens, that'll be great. If it doesn't, it's still great, because my life has been lived where I want my life to be.
Yeah.
So my whole life is focused on awakening. Well, how do I know that there's going to be some experience that's going to be better than that? I don't.
Yeah.
So can I just appreciate that? Just enjoy that.
It's like you may be winning the whole time. You're going to be winning the whole time, whether or not you ever get what you're going to get, or, you know, it's just a beautiful way and well put.
Yeah, and of course, you know, conditioning is always there, trying to make a case that if it doesn't look a certain way, or if it doesn't have this particular result, or it doesn't count. But karmic conditioning is always making that kind of case, just to try to distract us from the fact that, oh, well, I'm right here, right now, having a perfectly lovely time. And
yeah.
I don't want to leave this perfectly lovely time to follow a promise of a more perfect, more lovely time that I will get somewhere else. I'm just going to stay right here, just be with this, and say thank you.
Yeah, and having a perfectly lovely time directing my attention on what I want with my heart.
Yes. And being grateful that I know how to do that, that I know that's possible. That my life is such that it occurs to me. I mean, there's a huge piece of life to be grateful for right there. If nothing else ever happened, I know that I want to say thank you for all the good in my life there. That's something to say thank you for.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's just beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, I am just so enjoying this sort of little love fest that we're having here, with all the excitement with Teresa, with all of the gratitude that's been expressed over the last few, you know, the weeks, and just then to have this laid out so beautifully. It's just the best. So
it's
thank you so much. I hate to hang up because now I can't listen to the show since I don't have my computer, but I do know we've got a stack of calls, so I'll pass on and to the next caller, and thanks much.
All right. Well, have a wonderful rest of your drive.
Thanks, and we'll see you in October.
Great. Thanks, Rebecca.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Rebecca. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to take our sponsor breaks here, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
Porchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Music by Trish Brooks for Culligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
One few bathed in an ocean of roses. One few swam in a river of joy.
Welcome back to Open Air. Sherry, one of the things I love about the Africa Project is that it's not separate in any way from practice.
Uh-huh. Can you say more about that?
Yeah, it's. I think initially when it started, there was some kind of conditioned understanding of, oh, this is the service aspect of practice, which is separate from meditation and group and looking inward. And what I've learned or what I've seen is that the practice is to see through that illusion of separation. So here's just another example of the project is over there with those people, and it's separate from what I do. I mean, I'm involved, and I read the blog, but to really see in a really tangible way how it's all one thing.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's well stated.
Thank
and
you.
It's difficult for us often, I think, to, well, first of all, what you just articulated is very difficult notion for an awful lot of people to grasp. It's kind of like, you know, well, I don't have time for stuff like that. You know, I'm really busy. I've got this going and that going. And, you know, that's nice for people who don't have enough to do. But, you know, I have plenty to do. And so, and to realize that, no, that's not the point. As you're saying, you know, it's not something other than my life. It's a way that we can participate that is enough different from our regular life that it makes it easier for us to see the little places in our life or the huge places in our life where karmic conditioning has us bamboozled. So when we take a step, a big step out of our comfort zone, out of the where we usually live our lives, then we can start to see things that had been easily hidden from us as long as we're just kind of our attention is kept focused on the things that are really known and familiar. So my life is really known and familiar. I get up at this time, I go do that, I do that, I do that, I see those people, I have these obligations, I have to take care of this. You know, I could do that with my eyes shut, and many folks do, of course. So anything that we bring into our practice that causes us to expand that definition of we, of what we is, what we are, is just, to me, tremendously helpful in deepening and expanding our practice.
Yes, yes. As you were talking, I was imagining, well, there are many tools of practice, and I feel like I'm always, practice is always giving me another angle to look at conditioning.
Yes, yes. And the thing, what we were talking about a little bit ago, life is always offering us those opportunities. So when I was talking with my friend about this whole inner ear thing, and he said, and once this gets over, because it's a neurological thing, you know, there will be a lot of things going on that you may not actually be aware or connected to this. So he said, so do some Tai Chi classes when you feel like you're past this, to, you know, to help the brain integrate with the ears and the, you know, the balance and all of that sort of thing. And I thought, well, isn't that great? Because I have just been given permission to do something that I've wanted to do for a long time, but just never bring up to the top of the list, you know, so that it never really happens. So here life just comes along, and out of the blue, this person says this thing to me, and I think, oh, yeah, I'm going to do that. That's great. And I don't know where that's going to lead me. You know, that I don't know when I walk through that doorway what's on the other side of it. But one of the things that I can know is it's going to shake karmic conditioning up, and that's a good thing.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
And the other good thing is that we have four more callers here.
Very good. Let's find out who they are.
Okay. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Oops.
Are you there?
Mystery caller.
Mystery caller. Let's move to the next one. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, everybody. This is Rico.
Hey, Rico.
Hi, Rico.
Hi, I'm calling for to welcome Teresa, and we're so happy that she's here. And
oh, good.
I have a story about the garden, and it's almost like it's not her garden, but it's the village garden, it's my community's garden, it's everybody's garden.
Okay, Rico, let's put a little time out and give a little background, okay? So just a little background for Teresa, who hasn't been following along, and anybody else who is not familiar with that garden.
Well, I planted a garden with help from my friends and neighbors. I've been handicapped with a shoulder injury, and we've been able to raise a couple $1,000s for the Vulnerable Africa Project through donations of giving food away from my vegetable garden.
Great. So you guys grow this stuff and put it out on the street, and people make donations for it, and then you pass that money along to the kids, to the Cantaloupe Project.
That's right, yep.
That's great.
So I was in my garden a few weeks ago, and I'm kind of the one-armed guy out there because I'm in a sling a lot of the time with a shoulder issue, and I find this the garden is very bountiful, and the leaves are huge, and I see a big zucchini squash.
Uh-huh.
And so I go to, normally you might, usually you can harvest them by giving them a twist and they'll come off, but when I gave this one a twist, more than what I wanted came, and I ended up taking the big zucchini and three mini zucchinis and three flowers all at once.
Oh.
And it hurt a little bit because I realized, well, there's six zucchini that are being picked before they mature.
Uh-huh.
And then what happened in my mind or voice is, it's okay, not a problem. It's okay. And then it struck me that this is a, it's almost like a default free pass, which I use to slide through life. And it's as if, and I've been looking at the history of it in my life, and all through my school years, my parents were quite influential in our community, and they had strong ties to every school I went to. They had, themselves had been educators, and no matter how much trouble I get into, I'd always get off. And it's almost as if in my life, or it, particularly in my awareness practice, I have this posture where it's not like I don't want to be responsible for my actions, but I'm a little confused as to which sub-personality this is, or how to pay attention to it, or what to pay attention to, and I'm
yeah.
open to guidance in this.
Okay, so what I heard when you told that little story about the zucchini was the difference between it's okay, Rico. You don't need to beat yourself up over this. You didn't mean to do it, which is one, it's okay. That's one definition of it's okay. The other is has more of a tone of it doesn't really matter what you did. It's all okay.
Yes.
Yeah. And in the first one, it's really true. I mean, if you had known what was going to happen when you gave that thing a twist, you wouldn't have done it. You'd have gone and gotten a knife or something. But you didn't know, and then you do it, and it's like, oh. And so right there we could see somebody just kind of crumple under the weight of, zucchini murderer. And we don't want him to do that because it was an accident. It's too bad. It's sad. We wish it hadn't happened, but it was an accident. It's nothing anybody should be beaten over. In the other case, it is more like the little guy who got conditioned that he has a free pass. It, for whatever reason, he can just do whatever he wants, whenever he wants to do it, and it's okay. I mean, nobody really cares. Nobody's expecting more of him, or he doesn't have to take responsibility for anything. It's just, it's okay. You did that. It's okay. You did that. It's okay. Very different orientation, isn't it?
Yes, and that's what I'm. It's, I guess it's true that the quality of my life is dependent upon my the attention and my focus of the attention, because now I'm becoming aware of that. It's more clearly defined that latter posture, that latter mental state so,
which is a really slippery slope, isn't it? I mean, we could see. I mean, not that I think it's manifested this way in your life, but how as time went by, a kid who got that kind of information could just spin farther and farther and farther out there with more outrageous behavior and still hearing the same thing. And, of course, we have examples of it in our society, people who seem to feel that the rules don't apply to them, they can do whatever they want, and it's okay just because, they are who they are. And sooner or later, of course, it comes to a bad end because, in fact, it's actually not okay.
Yes. But I realized even all through school, B-plus is fine. It doesn't take any effort at all for B-pluses. And the leap from a B-plus to an A, why bother?
Yeah.
So it's not a new state, but it's a fact that I'm seeing it more clearly.
Yeah. And it on the one hand, it's like there's an assumption, I think a social, a cultural assumption, that it's a way to be kind to a child. Come on, he's getting B pluses. Don't leave him alone. He doesn't. And if it were coming from a whip him into getting that A no matter what, then we would say, yeah, well, that is a kinder way to approach a child. But what I'm hearing from you is it's a way to bail out on a kid.
Exactly.
Not to encourage him to find the love of doing the best that he can do for the love of doing the best that he can do. but being challenged and rising to a challenge and making an effort and caring enough about something to really put his whole heart into it. It's not a kindness to take that away from a child.
That makes sense. That rings true for me, what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, good. But what a great place to be practicing. And what a great invitation to the mentor to come in and walk that line between those two places, because on both sides of it, there's somebody who really needs support and nurturing and care and guidance and some fetching up.
Right, yeah. Well, and it's also applying to my sitting practice, and we've had this conversation over the last couple of years about being sitting and being highly dedicated as a practitioner and never, ever, ever missing and having a wonderful sit and then realizing, oh, where was I? And
yeah.
You're giving me the suggestion, well, wait a second. Imagine that the Buddha is sitting right next to you, and whenever I'm a little inattentive, I say, hey, how do you do that? And that was a really great bit of coaching, and I use it about 67 times every morning.
Oh, that's very good.
It
yeah.
is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now what?
So now you and the mentor are going to go on an exciting journey of watching how the temptation, the karmic temptation, is to fall off onto the side of, oh, man, what is the matter with you? Why can't you pay? Look what you did to those poor zucchinis. Or, oh, it's okay. It doesn't matter. Just walking that line and watching for who gets abandoned on the one side and who gets abandoned on the other, and bringing both of them, both sides of that, up onto that fine line that we're always walking in life, being right here, doing the best that we can do, paying the best attention that we can pay in every moment.
With intention. With intention.
With intention, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Conscious awareness.
Conscious awareness, yeah. And in fact, a lot of the I don't want to call it confusion, but the query I had, the koan I was holding was partially answered with your discussion by the previous caller about that's the best thing we can do is hold the intention and practice, practice, practice.
Yeah, yeah. No control. No, I don't have control over this, but I'm going to do the very best I can to do my part in the proposition. So if it doesn't happen, it's not because I didn't give it my best shot. That's what I'm dedicated to.
And before I go, I want to give you also an update. And I've mentioned a few times about my traffic red light practice.
Yes.
I've transformed it.
Rico, remind other people just briefly what that is.
Well, I used to get frustrated about jamming to get from here to there, and red lights were such an annoyance and impatient and a moment of I don't know, 6 or 8, 10 months ago, I realized, oh, what a practice opportunity to be sitting at a red light and to go into my breath and to sense myself and to be in a deeper contact with my awareness practice. And so I started turning the red lights into practice opportunity and being extremely grateful now for the red lights. And so anyway, I just want to report that the red light practice is one of the best things that ever happened.
That's great. And I bet you anything you've had this experience more than once where you come up to it and the light is green and there's a little part of you that goes, ah. Like you got kind of gypped. I got cheated out of my red light.
Oh, actually,
but
instead of being cheated, any traffic light now is almost like the reflex saying, oh, here's a practice opportunity.
Uh-huh. Pay attention.
Pay attention. Doesn't matter what color it is now.
Yeah.
Christmas tree lights or traffic lights or directionals or.
Yeah. Yeah. You just want to be lit up.
That's right.
Yeah.
You got that, girl. You got that right.
All
Carrie,
right.
Thank
Thanks
you.
A lot.
I'll be seeing
Thanks,
you guys
Rico.
Soon. Thank you.
All right. Good night.
Good night. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Rico. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, are you suggesting that anything could be a chance to be a practice opportunity for us?
Oh, son of a gun. I think I am. What? Yes, I am.
Huh?
Yeah. Again, you know, what I hear and what Rico is saying and what, you know, what other people are saying is that when we have that attitude of this is for me, not a selfish me, the way we, you know, karma would want us to approach it, but aren't I lucky? Aren't I lucky? I have these eyes. I can see all of this color and texture and shape. I can enjoy all of this beauty. I have these ears. I can hear all of these sounds. I can feel the breeze on my skin. I can feel the temperature. I can walk around. I can feel my feet on the ground. You know, and of course, not everybody has all of these things, but most of us have at least some of them. You know, I have all of this. What a lucky ducky I. And to live in that, and now this, and now I'm receiving, and now this, and now this. It's just amazing. And yes, in every single moment, there is that. And egocentric karmic conditioning, of course, is just working as hard as it can work to get us to turn our attention away from all of that to the one little thing that it can find to be unhappy about, or the conversation that it wants to drag us into about something that's not even going on that we don't like. So, yeah, I think that is what I'm saying.
Okay, great. Just wanted
just
to check it out. Sherry, we have about 8 minutes left here. We have two callers on the line.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Well, hi, Michael and Sherry. This is Nancy from Texas.
Hi.
Nancy?
What's
Nancy? Going on? We're hearing a lot from Texas these days.
Well, that's because it's raining now, and we all have enough energy to get up out of our drought and speak again.
Oh, well, very good. Very good.
We have lots to be grateful here for. The color green has come back.
Oh, lovely.
So you've pretty much covered everything I was going to say.
Isn't that good? That is the advantage of Sangha, isn't it? If we spend enough time with Sangha, sooner or later, somebody is going to articulate everything that we think and feel and have wondered about. And again, it's just a wow. That's great. Thank you.
And I guess the only thing that's been left out, and I'll take this from the next caller maybe, is to say that it sure sounds like two governments have had an opportunity to be their very best selves in the last
that would be,
week or so.
That would be Zambia and the United States?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And, you know, Nancy, along with that, I don't know how much people have a sense of this, but the individuals who wouldn't have to make any particular effort at all, who have just absolutely gone way, way out of their way to be kind, to come up with a solution, to provide care and guidance and all of that sort of, it's really been a remarkable effort.
It's really wonderful. I've traveled a lot to third world countries, and it is not always true that government officials rise to the occasion.
Yes.
And so it is so lovely to see that maybe they've joined the Sangha too in some way.
I think so. I think there's something going on. There's magic in the air. Yeah. Yeah. And the governments, you know, notoriously kind of bogged down in whatever bureaucracies get bogged
red
down.
Red lightism, perhaps.
Yeah. But also, just as individuals, you know, how often you can encounter somebody in a position who really could do something for you, but they just kind of, oh, who cares? I'm over this. You know, no. And then to watch people just get engaged and grasp the magnitude of the situation and hop on board to really make an effort to make a difference. It's been, again, inspiring and encouraging.
Yeah, that's a really sweet aspect of this story that I hadn't heard expressed, so I wanted to express it. I'm really pleased to see that the enthusiasm infected everybody.
Yeah. Thank you for that. Yeah, it's great. And clearly something that we could use a lot more of, you know, a lot more. I know, you know, people note regularly that bad news seems to be what people want to consume. And yet there, I think there are an awful lot of us who actually like good news and like happy endings and the triumph of the human spirit and all of those kinds of things that we're going after. And boy, we found a lot of them with this adventure who felt it, and saw it, felt it, and responded and really pitched. So we're very grateful. Thanks for the reminder.
And I thought it came from Michael, but then you just said it too. So I'll just thank both of you. I do my daily gratitudes, and I was listening to the archives, and I think it was Michael that mentioned it at the time. So thank you, Michael. Of being grateful for being alive, and I thought, oh my gosh, that never occurred to me.
Right.
I'm grateful for sitting here and holding my coffee cup. I can go straight to the source. I can just be glad to be alive.
Yeah, absolutely. Boy, that'll change the world, won't it?
Well, it has.
Yeah,
in a nice way.
An awful lot of people aren't.
Well, maybe they just haven't thought about it yet.
Well, I meant aren't alive.
Oh, okay. Well, there's that too. Well, they might be on the way.
Yeah. So there's both aspects of it, and people who died without ever appreciating the fact that they were alive, and that's very sad. And we don't want to be like that.
Well, it just cracked me up because I thought, oh, here I am, grateful for this sitting and this time and this coffee and that bird, but it just hadn't occurred to me to take it all the way back to I woke up this morning.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, there's air in my lungs. My heart is beating.
There you go.
It's a good thing.
It is a good thing. So thank you so much,
thanks,
and hopefully
Nancy.
This next caller will have a chance to get on, too.
Okay, we'll do our best. Thanks. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Nancy. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, one other person joined the list. We have two callers in about 3 minutes. So if we don't get to the last caller, I will encourage them to call back next week.
Yeah, I'm optimistic about that first one, but I don't know. Let's see how we do.
Okay, next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Julie Woodfine. I'm calling from Ontario, Canada.
Hey, Julie.
Hi. I'm having quite a bit of a struggle with a karmic kind of conditioning. I don't know how to phrase it intelligently, but I've been in a relationship with a man, and he lied to me for the whole year about a fidelity issue. And initially it came up in the relationship, but I challenged my own fear and my own condition and all this business to try to trust and have courage to trust, and turn out that it seems like it was the wrong thing to do, because in fact he was lying. I was just wondering if you could give some guidance around that.
So, if I can get this right, you suspected he was lying or cheating or whatever.
Yeah.
And you chose to trust him instead of yourself.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
He denied, He denied and said, no, that's
you
not
chose,
true.
You chose to believe him, even though everything in you was saying, I think he's lying.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's a heck of a rough lesson, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I wish I had, you know, just great words of comfort. And at a certain point, these words might sound more comforting than they might sound tonight. But that is, you know, that is a heck of an important lesson to learn. And
mm-hmm.
I would bet that you have really learned it.
Is there good. Yeah, I've learned it, and I'm learning it. But is there such a thing as forgiveness? And
well, now you've slid over into something else.
Yeah.
Okay. My teacher used to say, here's what you can trust in people. You can trust that people will be who they are.
Right.
Now, if you start trusting that people will be who you want them to be,
right,
then we're in a whole different ballgame. So, is there forgiveness? Sure. Sure. However, this is, I'll quote my teacher again. He said, if somebody, you make an arrangement to get together with somebody and they're late, here's what you can know. They're late. It doesn't really matter what they tell you, what kind of an excuse, what kind of a whatever. So 6 months down the road, when they're late, don't be upset with them because you knew right from the beginning that this is a person who's late.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Yeah. So now that can sound kind of hard-nosed. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to be that way. It's just that developing a habit of choosing your beliefs over your experience is never a good idea. We are conditioned heavily, heavily, heavily from the time we're small children to choose our beliefs, what we've been told over our own experience.
Yeah.
When we elect to do that consciously, we're really heading down a bumpy road.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So is it hard? Yes. Is it painful? Oh, my goodness. Is there a lot to work through with, well, then what does this mean? What does this mean about relationship? What does it mean when I'm talking about trust? What does trust really mean to me? What am I willing to settle for in a relationship? What is non-negotiable? What do I stand for? What am I willing to do and be in a relationship? What do I expect from somebody else? Okay, so these are all really big topics for you to explore. I would encourage you to consider that you've had at least this is a serious midterm if it's not a final in a class.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. So awareness practice, good thing, because what it does is help us to learn to come back to the most centered place, most compassionate place that we can find, and to look at things kind of in the clear light of present moment, rather than going up into conditioned mind to have it rumble around and feed back a bunch of stuff to us that may or may not have anything to do with us and current circumstances. So learning to be still with yourself, get to that quiet place, and then see what is so for you now with an issue,
mm-hmm.
Very fruitful pursuit.
Well, I just feel like the whole year was kind of a waste.
No, not at all, because I promise you, whether you can see it now or not, you learned a ton.
Nope,
don't waste your time. You learned critical life lessons. So, you know, every successful person, however you define success, I promise you this, every successful person that you have ever admired would tell you this in his or her own way of expressing it. In order to accomplish something, the first thing you have to do is learn everything there is to learn about how not to do that. So, first,
right. Yes, in this case, it's relationships.
That's right. And yeah. You're going to make every, and I'm making little quote marks in the air here, every mistake, because there's no such thing, but you're going to do everything that leads to suffering that you can possibly manage to do on your way to being free in the area of relationship. If you make it an adventure, it'll be fun and exciting. If conditioned mind makes it a contest, it'll be miserable and punishing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the little Zen phrase that goes with that, it's not what, it's how. So you're going off on a big adventure, called relationship. It can either be fun and exciting, miserable and punishing. It's all in how you approach it.
Yeah. Okay.
You'll either rejoice in what you learn and feel liberated and empowered by it, or it'll all turn into one long beating.
Well, it's one long beating right now.
That's right. So don't just say no to those beatings and turn your attention to, no, I'm gonna help this woman find freedom and the ability to enjoy relationship.
Yeah. Okay.
She's worth it.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, keep in touch.
Thank you.
We'll try to talk sooner next time.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Julie. We've come to the end of another wonderful hour. Sherry, it's been a great privilege to have you on the air tonight.
Thank you. It's been a delight to be here with y'all.
Great.
Thank you. Thank you for holding down the fort week after week after week, Michael.
You are most welcome. It's a great pleasure and privilege.
Good.
And I want to acknowledge everyone else who participated, Teresa and Jen and our many callers and our many, many listeners.
Yeah. What a team, huh?
Great team.
Good team.
Thank you, Sherry.
Right. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.